course, you know, the Lord told Moses, he said, tell the children of Israel to take a lamb for a house. And I'm glad today that there's still a lamb for every house. Amen. Call the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood is sufficient for all that we've ever done, all the sin that we've ever committed. His blood is sufficient to wash it all away. I praise the Lord for that. Open your Bible this morning with me, if you will, for just a few minutes, the Lord being our helper. To the book of Romans, chapter 1, I want to share just two or three verses of Scripture and share with you some things that the Lord has placed upon our heart. Got up this morning with kind of the room spinning around, so I may have to hold this pulpit up this morning, but God being my helper, I'm going to do what God called me to do. So you pray that God would have His way this morning in this service. I know that He's here. How many of you know that He's here today? Amen? Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1, begin reading with verse 13. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your house and to worship you and to come into your presence and to feel your presence here with us this morning. I pray, God, as we look into your blessed word, that you would have your way in every heart, every life. You know every need that's present in this service today. I pray, God, that not one person would leave this service this morning with a need in their heart that's unmet. And Father, we will not fail to slip off somewhere and give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen and amen. Paul said in this scripture, of course, very familiar part of it, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There is no other power unto salvation rather than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning on something that Paul said after that, when he said here that the just shall live by faith. Amen? I like that scripture, and I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. If I were to have a thought this morning, I would say that that thought would be broken and spilled out. Today, we face a great challenge for the future, not only the future of our nation, but the future of our families, the future of our churches. And I believe there are some dark clouds on the horizon, some signs that trouble is coming. There's going to be some things coming right down the road that you and I as God's people are going to have to face, that we're going to have to go through and walk through, that we need to be ready for. Amen? I believe that this is a time when we must remain steadfast and sure. I believe that we need to have our eyes set on the cross of Calvary, know where we're going, know who we are, and what we're about. Amen? Let us chart a clear course in these days in which we live for the children and grandchildren that we have coming after us, so that there will be no doubt and no question on what the right direction is. So the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. Let me say, faith is not faith if you give out of your excess. I want you to think about that this morning. Faith is never faith if you just give what's excessive and what you have left over after you do what you want to do. Faith is never faith in that situation. Faith is something that must go through the fire in order to be perfected. I believe that unless your faith is tested, you're never sure whether it's going to work or not. How many of you know that as long as it's never been tested, you don't know? When you come up against a situation and a problem in your life, you're not sure. But if you have been tested, if your faith has been tested, and your faith stands sure, then you know what to expect when you come up against a problem. Go with me to the book of James, chapter 2. I want to share some scripture there with you. Amen. And begin reading in verse 17 and read about three or four verses. James chapter 2. Say amen when you're there. Amen. James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest good. Doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Faith is more than just saying, I believe there's a God. Faith is more than believing that even that God created this universe. Faith is something that stands on the promises of God when the world's on fire. Amen? Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Amen. Faith without works, it's impossible. If you're just giving a lip service to faith, lip service to what you believe, then there's nothing much to it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that when your faith has been tried, when your faith has gone through the fire, you know how to stand on the promises of God. And if there was ever a time when you and I as God's people need to know how to stand on the promises of God, I'm telling you, it's coming right down the road. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. So the just, Paul said, shall live by faith. My question to you this morning is, can faith be perfected? I believe it can. I'm here to say to you today, the cost of perfect faith is brokenness. How many of you realize until you're tried and you're tested, you'll not know what you're made of? Amen? There are places in God's Word where God wants to bring us to, but the price and the admission of those places that God wants to bring us to is brokenness. Now, praise is wonderful, and I love praise, and I like to see us praise, and it's all about praise, and we should praise the Lord, but there are some places God wants to bring you, and me too, that there's only one way you can get there, and that's through brokenness. Praise doesn't get you all the way, but brokenness will. You see, our Lord was broken. And through him, you remember when he initiated the Lord's Supper, he said, of the bread, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. He wasn't broken physically on the outside at that point, but he was soon going to be as they put the cat of nine tails to his back, as he shed the blood with the soldiers when they spat upon him, when they plucked out his beard, when he hung on the cross of Calvary. He was broken for you and for me. Why would we ever think that we should be no less broken for him? I believe that there's a place of brokenness that's necessary for repentance. I believe that the Bible teaches me that we can't even come to God without a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I believe that God, the Bible teaches us that godly sorrow worketh repentance. Just to make a decision to follow the Lord is not what this is about. I believe that it comes a time in your life when you must come to Christ because of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Once you get born again, once you get saved, after repentance comes service. How many of you know it doesn't stop with just getting right with God and go on and do what you want to do for the rest of your life and then die and go to heaven? There's more to salvation than just getting saved. There's more to salvation than just avoiding a place called hell. There's more to salvation than just going to heaven when you die. There's a place of service. The Word teaches us that after salvation, we must go on to perfect our faith. There's a clear pattern in Scripture that teaches you and I that brokenness brings breakthrough. Romans chapter 5. Back up there with us for just a minute. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, beginning reading in verse 1, said this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You remember the Bible teaches us that we're all given that measure of faith. That measure of faith will get you here, that you be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. There's enough faith to get you saved. God will issue you, so to speak, that little measure of faith that will help you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But after that, faith must be perfected. And guess what perfects faith? Tribulation. Tribulation, the Bible said, works patience. Patience, hope. There's a clear pattern here that we need to look at. James chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "The trying of your faith worketh patience." You look at it. The trying of your faith. Where am I going with this? The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 18, I believe in verse 4 or somewhere in there, the vessel that he made of clay was marred, so he made it again, another vessel. And I realize God created you and he brought you into this world and he knew you before you were ever born. But there comes a time when God, if he's going to get service out of you, is going to have to remake you. How many of you realize that you're not perfect right now? You need to be remade. You need to be remolded. You need to be redirected. If you're ever to be used of God, there must come a time, maybe more than one time in your life, where you will be broken and spilled out. You see, pride doesn't have a lot of room in service for God. If you study the Word of God, you'll find that out. But there's an old song that says this, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For I am the potter and you. You are the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am yielded and still." Listen, God wants to remake us. But it's going to take brokenness. It's going to take a willing heart to be broken and remade. You see, Jacob, before he could be blessed, ended up wrestling with an angel all night. How many of you know that that angel wounded him and crippled him, and he went with a limp the rest of his life before he was blessed? Before Joseph could rule in Egypt, you remember Joseph was tossed into a pit. How many of you know Pitt is prophet in training? Amen. He was tossed into a pit. He was wrongly accused by Pharaoh's wife and spent time in jail. He was at a place of being broken before God could use him. Before Job's estate doubled, you remember what happened to him? He lost everything he had. Place of brokenness, lost his family, lost his fortune, lost it all. Before Moses became the man that went down to Egypt and delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, he lost his heritage, he lost it all, and ended up on the backside of the desert being a sheep herder for his father-in-law's sheep. Place of brokenness. Joshua, before he conquered the promised land, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Before David became king, You remember David was anointed to be king when he was just a lad, but before he became king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. A place of brokenness. Before Samson crushed the Philistines, he was blinded, binded, and grinded. How many of you know that Samson was, according to the Word of God, the strongest man I can find in the Bible? There came a time when he was blinded. They plucked out his eyes and he ground at the mill like a mule before he was used of God. Before Daniel was a mighty man, he had to spend the night in the lion's den. I'm talking about perfected faith. I'm talking about faith that has to go through the fire to be proven. When you're broken and spilled out, when there's nowhere left to turn, when there's nobody with an answer, and you have to turn to God, God says, trust me, and I'll see you through. In our times of brokenness, God will teach us about living by faith, but it has to have that brokenness in order for us to learn. It was a blessing to me last week when we sat in this church and Sister Teresa sang and was such a blessing to this church. And it's an emotional time for me because when she was here, she reminded me and brought back the memories of when Judy and I were doing the youth group at this particular church, and she was just one of some 50 young people that were in that group 30 years ago. And it makes me emotional, and people say, well, preacher, you get too emotional. I don't think I ever get too emotional. Because I remember those days, you see, and it was a blessing to have her here and have her sing, but while she was singing, and as I look back on what she was had come through and the things that she had come through, I also remembered another young lady. And by that same time period, a little lady, 16 years old, that cancer had grasped her body. And I remembered going to the hospital with a 16-year-old whose life lay before her and hope for the future was there. And all of a sudden the diagnosis came that she had terminal cancer and there was no hope. And the doctors pulled back and the doctor said, we've done all we can do. And they sent her to St. Jude's in Memphis and they did all they could do and they sent her back home. And I remembered walking into that hospital room, and there's a dad that had just a few years before lost his wife to breast cancer, and now his daughter's laying in a hospital bed, and the oxygen's on her, and she just barely can breathe, and she's struggling for every breath. Her name was Wanda. And I took Wanda by the hand. I'm talking about brokenness this morning. I took that precious 16-year-old girl by the hand. She looked up at me and her dad, a couple of her sisters that were in the room, and she said, don't worry about me. I'm going home. to be with my Jesus. And I stood there holding her hand and watched her struggle to breathe. And finally, one last gasp. Her body became lifeless and unmoving. Judy will tell you that just a few days later, as I wrestled to stand behind a desk like this and tell people that come from everywhere to a funeral, they stood outside the building, and tell them about Wanda and her faith. That I was at a place of brokenness because I was questioning my own faith. You see, we don't have the right to judge other people because of why they praise the Lord or what they've been through, because we don't know where their brokenness was. I've always heard it said that we need not judge another man or another woman till we walk a mile in their shoes. And I look at this brother right here that's been in the way and in service for the Lord for all these years, and he's 90 something years old, and he's told me he's ready to go and waiting to go home. But we don't know what that man went through in his years of brokenness when God perfected his faith and brought him to where he is today. We have no right to judge others. You see, in our times of brokenness, God will perfect our faith. God doesn't bring the brokenness. The enemy attacks us and our family and brings the things. But God will come to us in our time of brokenness when no one else has an answer, when you don't have the answer, when things don't look good and there's no hope. God will come to you and perfect your faith. Wanda went home 16 years old, but she was ready to go. And she said, "Don't worry about me. You see, nobody has the right to judge you because they don't know what you paid for the contents of your alabaster box. The woman that brought the alabaster box to Jesus was broken. You study it in the book of Luke. The Bible says she wept and wiped his feet with her tears. And she broke that alabaster box and poured that precious ointment at Jesus' feet because she had faith that was perfected. Now I'm here to tell you this morning that unless your faith is perfected, it will fail you at the most inopportune time. And our faith is perfected through our brokenness. Yesterday, we were in Fort Collins, and we went over there to look at some school buses at a sale, and it was cold, and the wind was blowing, and I met Sister Loretta and some of the others there, and Sister Loretta, God being my helper, I'm not here to point you out or to say anything about you this morning. And I certainly, for God's sake, wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. But I want to share this with you. And we were out there, and all of us, I think TJ and Mandy were there, and Bruce was there somewhere. He was selling horses. The whole Ford family was out there. I watched Sister Loretta as she walked across that yard had a little straw hat on and had a bandana down over her ears. The wind was blowing and it was cold. And I watched her, and I never said a word to her, but I watched her. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. As I watched her walk across that yard, and he said, "There goes faith perfected." And I began to think about that. And what Sister Loretta and so many others have been through. But I want to ask you this morning, what is it that will make a woman who came up on a school bus wreck so many years ago walk down the track and pick up a dead, lifeless child and realize that it's her son? What makes that woman a woman of faith today? Faith perfected in brokenness. When nobody has the answer. When nobody can tell you how to do it. You see, it's easy for people to tell you how to do things if they've never had to face what you're facing. But what makes her a woman of perfected faith today is what she went through in her broken times. What will make you a woman or a man of faith today is how you face your broken times. How you allow God to come into your life when there's no hope and nobody has the answer and you'd rather not be in the situation you're in and you'd actually rather be dead than still alive. But you're still here and you're broken. God comes to you in those broken times and perfects your faith. Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." It's faith that's going to get us through this world. It's faith in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Faith in the finished work of Calvary. Faith in the promises of the Word of God who stands sure. It's faith, perfected faith, that's going to get us there. If we're healed, we're going to be healed by faith. If we're touched, we're going to be touched by faith. We're going to trust God by faith. We're going to follow Him by faith. Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." How's your faith this morning? Has it been through the fire? Have you been on the potter's wheel and allowed God to remake you and reshape you in something or someone that could be of service to Him? The just shall live by faith. Sister Bert, if you will. Our Father, as we come to You this morning, I thank You for each and every one that's come out this way today. I thank You that even in our broken times, even in those times that we can remember when we were broken, that You were there for us. When no one else seemed to care, no one else had the answer. Lord, You came to us in our brokenness. Father, I reach out to You today knowing that we as a people have a tremendous task ahead of us. That we might move forward and leave an example for those in our family and those friends that we have. That no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God, I pray that You would touch this people now. You know every heart, You know every life. I ask You, Father, that we might be obedient to the Holy Spirit right now. And if there be a need in this service today, maybe there's someone here that's broken now. Jesus, you're speaking to them right now and saying to them, quit trying to work it out in your own way and in your own mind and bring it to me. Help us, Lord, this morning to pick up the broken pieces, bring them to the foot of Calvary, and lay them at your feet and let you put them back together. Let you perfect our faith. And Father, we'll glorify you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to stand to our feet this morning as she plays and sings this song. Judy, you need to come. If you need prayer today, if you're in a place of brokenness, if God's in the process of perfecting your faith, you need a touch from the Lord. I want you to slip out of your seat right now as she sings this song and you come. Let's pray together, or you can just come and get on your face before God and let Him perfect your faith. Would you do that while they sing?